But now let me see if I can keep a straight face. By the way, just so you guys know how proud of my son I am, this past week he took the exam and he is now an ordained bishop in the Church of God. That's the highest level of licensure in the Church of God. When we go to assembly in July, he will be able to sit on the floor and vote. He is Bishop Jamie Harper now. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Romans 12. I want to read from the first and the second verse, and I'm going to try to make this quick this morning because we've got life tracks and some other things to do. And I don't want to keep you long, but I don't think I have to keep you long this morning. I want to hit it hard, and I want you to buckle your seatbelt because it's not going to be easy this morning. Okay? Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the word. Lord, make it easy to preach this morning, and let us hear from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said together, amen. Well, I love baseball. And over the years, I was a pretty good baseball player. In fact, the older I get, the better I was. Those of you who didn't get that, ask a neighbor who was laughing. Okay, the older I get, the better I was. And I was able to then move from a player, and after I finished my college career, I was able to move from being a player to a coach, because if you can't play anymore, you coach, right? So I coached. And along the way, I had a lot of young men that I coached. And some of these young men went on to play lots of levels of ball. Pastor Jamie was one of those. He played college ball. Along the way, some of the athletes who played rec ball, that's summer league ball, didn't make it to the middle school team. And then along the way, some of those who made it to middle school team didn't make it to the high school team. And then some who made it on the high school team didn't go further to college. But some who played in college were able to be drafted and didn't make it into the minor leagues, but some who played minor league baseball were not able to make it into the major leagues. Some players have elite talent and eventually make it to the majors. These are the players who work diligently, who never take no for an answer, who don't take time away from the game, who develop their abilities to the max, who have such a huge desire to play that nothing else really matters. And as much as this is necessary for baseball players to make it to the bigs, it's even more important for those of us who follow Jesus. You see, there are lots of Christians who play church recreationally. Lots who live in the middle school drama. Lots who advance to a higher school or level of play. A few spend years to prepare for God in a college sort of setting. Some move to the minor leagues because they really want to live for God. And then there are some who make it to the majors for Jesus, right? These are followers of Jesus who spend time in prayer, who read the word, who stay on their knees, who tell people about Jesus' love, those who put Jesus first, those who are followers that do not take no for an answer. Those are people who work diligently for God, folks who won't take time away from ministry, Christians who find their purpose in God, people who don't focus on themselves, folks who avoid and get away from distractions, Christians who live not for disunity, but for unity. Followers who love God with their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. People who have a desire to live for Him and refuse to let anything get in their way. These are the people who will not let their work be hindered for God. And listen, I understand that it's an extremely high calling, but God has called us to such. In fact, Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I can hear some of you this morning, I hear you saying already, Jimmy, that sounds great, but what you're describing is more than anyone can do. Correct. Perfectly correct. Precisely correct. Because the bottom line is this, it's not about you and me. We can't make the difference that God can make. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But please understand this. I know none of us are perfect, but the enemy wants to believe that we can't. We won't. We aren't able. We can't succeed. We aren't good enough. We don't have the ability. We don't have the talent. We don't have enough of anything to do for him. The enemy doesn't want us to think anything good. The enemy doesn't want us to think that we can accomplish anything for God. But God knows us. And God believes in us. And he believes in you enough, even when you don't believe in yourself, that he can use you for great and mighty things in the kingdom of God. Jeremiah says it this way, God has loved us with an everlasting love. We know he'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We know he'll go with us all the way to the very end of the world. What God wants and what God expects is for us to be sold out for him, not to play church. This is not the country club. This is not fun time. This is not playtime. God wants his best for all of us. And unfortunately, most of us don't know what it takes to get to that place with God. But I'll give you a hint. It demands total dependence on God. And I think Paul helps us to understand a little bit about that as we look at Romans 12 today. Let me ask you this question as I begin. Who are you becoming in Christ Jesus? Because if you've become all that you are to be, you're wasting your time. If you stopped becoming, you're barking up the wrong tree. No matter where you are, no matter what you are, no matter what position in life you are, God wants us to keep moving forward. Romans 12, Paul says it this way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. He didn't say the young people can do it. Although sometimes I watch Pastor Jamie jump around on stage and I think, oh, God, I wish I had some of that. Just wish I had a little bit of that energy, right? He didn't say it's just for the people who have a high level of faith. He didn't say it's just for the people who have been around a long time. No, he said that it's for all of us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like an easy thing to do. In fact, the Greek word for sacrifice here signifies a sacrifice as in an offering. And not just a simple offering, not just a token offering, not just a little bit of an offering, but offering everything to God. In other words, we live for God as we do, we don't live for ourselves or for our own desires. We dedicate every aspect of our lives to God for his purpose, for his will, and we lose ourselves in the process. Paul goes on to say this, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, it is holy and pleasing to God. Now, this is what God wants. This living offering is pleasing to God. We have become his righteousness, the Bible tells us. We're giving to God as we should, but we're not giving stuff to him. We're giving us to him. Paul also says, this is your true and proper worship. The King James Version says it this way, this is your reasonable service. It's not something that's too much to ask. It's not something that should be overwhelming to us. It should be normal, a common approach for all followers of Jesus Christ. But now see, I have a tendency to focus on myself because I'm selfish. And I know none of you would act this way. I know none of you would be selfish. I know none of you would ever act like I do. But for some reason, I feel like God is asking a lot. Maybe too much. Maybe more than I can give. Maybe just a little too much for me to give to him. Let me be frank and to the point by saying this. That's a lie from the devil. God will not ask of you or me more than we can give. God will help us every step of the journey. God will lead me and you where we don't know how to go and don't know that we can go. God will give us success as we trust in Him. God will do what we cannot do because it's not about us. It's about the God that we serve. Then look at what Paul says in verse 2 here. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Can I be honest with you again? There are a whole lot of us who have gotten really comfortable in this world. This is where we really need help because so many of us have bought into the American dream, right? Many of us enjoy the ways of this world. Some of us connect easily to worldly things. We want to engage with our worldly home. We often think the answers to life problems are maybe in the White House or in the courthouse and not the church house. We sometimes feel like money, if I can just get enough money, it'll take care of everything. We have the misconception that we belong here on this earth. Many of us have become comfortable in our own skin. But Paul specifically says and succinctly says, do not adapt. Do not give in. Do not connect to. Do not follow. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. See, the Bible tells us this way, strangers we are in this world. The Bible tells us that we are exiles in an unfamiliar place, that we are aliens in a different land, that we are foreigners in an unknown place, that we are pilgrims passing through. We're not made for this world, and if you think you're made for the world, you have settled. God help us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. We're not designed to live in this world. James says in 4:4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. John says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. 1 John 2:15. John says again in 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father but from the world. Paul even says that the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. We are in this world, folks, but we are not of this world. Paul says it this way, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now listen to me today, please. Listen to me carefully. This is indeed the key to remaining focused on God and keeping our mind off this world. Let me tell you the three things that we usually focus on when we focus on this thing. First of all, most of us focus on information. Information is knowledge. Knowledge is power, right? We focus on information because we feel like if we've got the right information, then we should be able to handle things. If we've got all the right information in place, if we've got the knowledge, then we should be able to handle things. I mean, we live in an age of information, right? Information is knowledge, and people will say to us, well, information, knowledge is what we need to succeed in this life. Some folks move on to a second step. They move along the continuum to formation. Now, we have a few people who say, no. It's not information. It's not about information. It's about formation. We've got to be formed into the people that we need to be. We've got to be formed into the people that know things. We must be formed into leaders by following the right principles. We've got to form alliances with the right people. We've got to be formed into people of significance. We must be formed into people of success. Formation is the key to life. And if we look at it in terms of spiritual formation, then yes. But that's still stopping short of what God has called us to be, because God has called us to not have just information and not to focus on formation, but He's called us to transformation. Paul says the key to following God and the key to success in ministry is to be people of transformation. When we're transformed, we don't focus on the things of this world. look at your neighbor and point at him and say, stop it. When we're transformed, we don't focus on ourselves. When we're transformed, we don't start problems in the church. When we're transformed, we don't gossip or talk about others. When we're transformed, we don't selfishly put ourselves first. When we're transformed, we don't allow distractions to affect us. When we're transformed, we don't think in a worldly way. When we're transformed, we are His, we're not our own. When we're transformed, we forget about our own desires. When we're transformed, we put Jesus first. When we're transformed, we spend time with our Savior. When we're transformed, we renew our minds in Christ Jesus. Because you see, transformation leads us to a place where we focus on God. Paul says it this way, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So even oftentimes we have difficulty living our lives for God. But when we surrender our lives totally and completely to Him, when we get rid of all the distractions, when we stop putting ourselves first, when we learn to live for Him and not for ourselves, when we are transformed in Him, Paul says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, His perfect will. So my question today is again, who are you becoming in Christ Jesus? For some of us, church is a social club. We come because we want to see people and engage with people and build relationships, and that's a good starting place, but there's a whole lot more than that. For some of us, church is a little meaningful. For some of us, maybe a few more of us, we desire to live for God. For some of us, following God is a passing persuasion. It's what we need right now, but who knows what we're going to need for the future. But for some of us, for a few of us, following God is a passionate pursuit. It's not what we do, it's who we are. It's not what we do with our time, how we spend our time. It is who we are because we want more of Him in our lives. Look, I understand this is a hard word today, and the last thing that I want to do is to condemn you, but I'm trying to help us understand today that God wants to provoke us, that He wants to prod us, so that we can continue to do what we can for Him. And look, the fact is, I fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let me say it this way. Sometimes I miss the mark. Sometimes I'm not perfect. Sometimes I make mistakes. Just ask my wife. On second thought, don't ask my wife. Now all the wives in the church need to say amen. Oh, that was weak. Now all the wives in the church need to say amen. But can I tell you that God knows we're human and sometimes weak and frail? God's not trying to pounce on our weakness this morning. He wants to spur us on to overcome our weakness. He wants us to serve Him and follow Him closely. He wants us to be used for His glory. He wants to use us to defeat the enemy. He wants to see us change our world, but we will not be able to do that until we get our own selfish desires and our own personal will out of the way, and we stop talking about people and we stop causing problems and we start doing what God and God alone wants in our lives. God will not bless me if I'm not following after Him and doing what I can to help others and to love others. God will not bless me when I'm talking bad about others, when I'm causing problems in the church. God will not bless me when I'm causing distractions. God wants for me to be the love that brings people to Jesus. God wants to see me and you change our world. But if we are to do that, we have to be transformed in Him. Matthew, can you put Isaiah 58 up there? Look at this. Isaiah 58 tells us that the Lord is prepared to do this for His people. if we'll get serious. Now, this comes from the Message. But look at verse 6 through verse 12 of Isaiah 58. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is, listen, what I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shattered lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a life full of the emptiest places and firm muscles, strong bones. You will be like well-watered gardens, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. Oh, hallelujah. That's what God wants of me and you. He doesn't want us to just show up at church and have people see all the cars in the parking lot and have people talk about us and say, hey, that must be a happening place. No, he wants us to be able to leave this place when we come. Get charged up to leave this place on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night and go out and make a difference in our world. Are we focused on information? Are we just looking at formation? Or are we ready today to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Oh, hallelujah. How are we going to make a difference in our world? How are we going to make a difference in our world? If we can learn to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we will be able to understand that God will lead us in the right way, not our way, but His way, because His way is better. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Let everything go and give it to God. It's not about you. It's about Him. Let me tell you this story and I'm done. Socrates was known to be a very wise man. He was a legend in his own village. In fact, Socrates would bring young men in and he would sit with them and he would teach them and he would help them. He would mentor them. He had quite a following of students and young people who would sit with him from the community daily. In fact, one young student asked Socrates one time, he said, Socrates, oh, great Socrates, you're such a wise person. I want your wisdom. Every day, basically, this student would beg Socrates, Socrates, I want your wisdom. And most often, Socrates would just ignore the young man and move on with what he was teaching and what he was doing for that day. But finally, Socrates had heard enough of the student's pleas, his beg for wisdom. He looked at the student and he said, you want wisdom? The student said, yes, Socrates. Oh, great Socrates, I want your wisdom. He said, follow me. And so Socrates walked down the winding road of this small village toward the coast. And when he arrived at the beach, he led the student into the water. As they were out in the water, Socrates asked the student one more time. He said, what do you want? And the young man said, Socrates, oh great Socrates, I want wisdom. Socrates grabbed his head and he pushed him under the water. When he let the young man up from under the water, he asked him again. He said, what do you want? He said, I've told you, Socrates, I want wisdom. So he grabbed his head and he pushed him down under the water again. And this time he held him a little longer. So he led him up and he asked the young man again, young man, what do you want? He said, Socrates, I've told you, this is not an old thing, but I've told you, I want wisdom. And Socrates grabbed his head and he pushed him down a little longer, and this time he held him for a while. He held until his arms started flailing and he was trying to get up from out from under the water, and Socrates had a great hold on him and he kept him there, and finally he let him up and he said to him, young man, what do you want? And gasping for breath, this young man says, I want wisdom. I want wisdom, Socrates. I want wisdom. And he grabbed his head very quickly before he had a chance to take a deep breath, and he pushed him under the water again, and he held him there for a very long time. His hands are flailing. He's going crazy. He's trying to get up from under the water. And finally, when Socrates lets him up, he's gasping for air. He's trying to catch his breath. He can barely breathe. And Socrates asked him the question, young man, what do you want? And the young man said, air. I need air. And Socrates looked at him and said, when you want wisdom as much as you need the air that you breathe, you will find wisdom. Can I tell you today that you and I, if we want to be transformed, if we want transformation, if we want to work for God as much as we need the air that we need to breathe, God will bring transformation to us. We're entering into a time where it's not going to be enough to just come to church to be here. It's not going to be enough to just pray when we pray at church on Sunday and Wednesday. It's not going to be enough to open our Bibles just when we hear the preaching or the teaching. If you want to be transformed, it means giving your life as a daily living sacrifice. God, reach into our hearts today, Lord. Reach deep into our hearts today, God. Call us. Call us afresh and anew. Reach out to us today, God. Let us know that you've loved us with an everlasting love and you want us to be in your army, to be your soldiers, ready to go anywhere, anytime, to do anything you want us to do, God. Let us be transformed. Let us stay on our knees, God, more than we ever have. Let us stay in your word more than we ever have. God, let us do more and call on you and seek you. God, let us chase you more than we ever have before. Transform us today, God. Transform us by the renewing of our mind that we can prove and attest what is that good and acceptable. Perfect will, God, we want to be yours. Make us yours today, afresh and anew. With every head bowed and every eye still closed, if you're here today and you want to begin a relationship with God, just raise your hand wherever you are. Amen. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Anybody else today? Maybe you've wandered. Maybe you've found life difficult. Maybe you want to rededicate your heart to the Lord today. Is there anybody today that wants to rededicate your life to the Lord? Just raise your hand right where you are. Amen. Amen. Anybody else today? Yes. Amen. Pray with me. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you more than I've ever needed you. And today I commit myself to you, afresh and anew. I want to be yours. And I'm thankful that you love me. Come into my heart. Save me. Help me. I'm yours. Amen. Amen. Three people raised their hand this morning, folks. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you. As you walk out of these doors this week, right now, this morning, as you prepare to do whatever it is that God wants you to do this week, ask the Lord to use you in new ways. Ask the Lord to help you commit to Him in new ways. Ask the Lord to bring transformation and see what a difference it makes in you. If you want to be transformed this morning, shout amen.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you can get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.